Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. How many of you love the Bible? I mean, that's, if you don't get excited about the Bible, there's just something wrong with you. It's God's Word, and it's not just something we study, but it's something that's real in our lives. It changes us. I mean, the Bible changed the God of the Bible. Let me say it that way. The God of the Bible changed my life. From a little boy, from a broken home, and not any knowing nothing about that, God, I got saved. God called me to preach, and I discovered a Bible that I had a cheap Bible before, never read it. It was a cheap Bible with yellow pages and tiny little print that they gave me when I went from primary to junior Sunday school or something. I never read it. That's to my shame. I just never read it. I surrendered to preach. Someone gave me a hardback Scofield Bible. White pages, maps in the back, study notes, cross references. Man, I got to study. And I said, I was just a teenager, 16 years old. People would pass by our house and say, why was your light on? It would be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't get enough of it. Did you know that was 50? I'm going to tell my age. 53 years ago or so, or almost 53 plus, that I discovered it and got into it, and I'm still that way. I just can't get enough of it. I love it. And I usually preach on missions. I'm all over the country and all over the world. I was supposed to have been in Japan in March. I preached up near San Francisco, and the next week I was leaving. I was flying from L.A. to Tokyo and then going to Okinawa. Linda, she's a brave lady. She was going to fly from Chattanooga to Atlanta and meet me in Tokyo and have to coordinate meeting there and then going down to Okinawa. And, of course, that didn't happen. The first time in the history of our Bible college in Japan, 50 years of history, they had to cancel their graduation and Bible conference because of COVID and all of that. So we didn't go to Japan, but we've been a lot of other places. And I preach on missions a lot. I'm not going to do that tonight. This is simple. I'm not going to say anything you haven't heard. The book of 1 Peter has a lot to do with reminding us of simple things. There are two books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And 2 Peter, it's a book of warning. Satan, he's the serpent. He's the wicked one. And it's a book filled with warning. 1 Peter, Satan is the roaring lion. And Peter is writing to these people a letter of comfort. How many of you have ever been in a place where, boy, you just, sometimes you like good hard preaching. But how many of you would say along with me, I don't like to be beat up on all the time? Yeah, amen. Amen. Now, once in a while I need it. I need a good hard message and but balance. And here was Peter writing to these Christians scattered all over the world with words of comfort. And I'm going to read verses 5, 6, and 7. Likewise, ye younger, chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Hey, let me just stop right there. That's not my sermon. Young people, listen to me. That's not bad advice. Amen. Younger people, learn from folk who've been down that pathway before you. Pay attention to them. Pay attention. Sometimes they've messed up and they've had to learn some hard lessons. Sometimes they've had the blessing of God, so listen. And then, yea, all of you be subject one unto another. Hey, that's not bad advice either. We don't have big Indians and, you know, everybody has to be the big chief. We're God's children. We work together to get God's work done. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I preached in my lifetime a few messages. I don't know if I have an average week, but many, many weeks of the year I preach 7-8 times in a week. Many weeks I preach Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, 3 times Sunday. Now, I love it. I never get tired of it. Those of you who don't preach, you don't understand that. But we preachers, we understand the privilege of living in humility before God, because it's not my message, it's not Pastor Dietrich's message, it's God's message. Amen. And he gives us the privilege of standing up. And I preached many messages, and I preached messages over the years on revival. back last year, I preached a whole week of revival up in somewhere in West Virginia. Anywhere in West Virginia is in the holler, but I was up there and I preached a whole week of revival. I preached on repentance. We need to hear that too. We need to practice that. But there's sometimes when it's not always the time for that kind of preaching. There's a time for preaching to people who have troubled hearts. The great preacher Joseph Parker's advice to young preachers was this: preach often to those with troubled hearts. Now, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 is a very familiar verse. There are a lot of those in the Bible. You know, when someone says, what's your favorite verse? How many of you have a problem answering that? That's like people say to us, what's your favorite country in the world? And our answer is the one I was in last. I went to Papua New Guinea. We're giving out Bibles. We've given out close to 800,000 Bibles in Papua New Guinea. Every schools, they let us come preach an hour in every school. The local pastor goes with us. We have 200,000 more Bibles on the ground. That's 1 million Bibles that before long will all be given out. That's an ongoing process. I get to do that. But when they ask me, what's your favorite country, I struggle. Sometimes, you know, how many of you want to be young again? I don't know why. Being old is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. But, you know, I don't feel old. I know I'm bald and all that, but I don't feel old. But every place I go, I could go live. I went to Papua New Guinea. I wanted to stay there. Because I don't remember when I've been in a place that's so open to the gospel. I mean, we had people saved. Everywhere we went, we had people saved. We'd go to church, they would pack in. We'd go to some little place behind a house where they had a little tarp up, and we went there after we'd been to a school, they wanted to feed us. And we went there and we ate, and you know what? Those people cried just because we would come to their place. I go to a place like that, I want to stay there. I go to Japan, just the opposite, modern, sophisticated. But if I were a young man and I could just do what I want to do, I'd go to Japan and I'd plant one of those cities. There are hardly any Christians in the whole country. Now, the ones who are there, they're some wonderful people, but just less than 0.5%. What's your favorite country? It's hard to say. What's your favorite verse? It's hard to say because, you know, we read our Bibles and we read those familiar verses. And so often we preachers, we're a little shy to preach on the well-known verses. We think, well, they've heard that before. John 3:16 and Romans 8:28 and John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Psalm 23, we read those and we hear those and we think, well, I don't know. Everybody's heard that. And sometimes the devil would have us skip some of these wonderful, simple, clear verses. But that's where I want to park tonight. You're in this verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is a care-filled time. I mean, we're going through some things, and I know you've heard it before. And I said, if you read our missionaries' prayer letters, they all say, unprecedented. It's true. It is unprecedented. We don't even know what we're doing. We don't. You can have church now, but a month from now, who knows? Now, I think it's going to open up, and I think we've been, well, I won't get into it. I'm going to tell you what I really think, but ask me later. 1 Peter 5:7 is a text for troubled believers. It's a text that Peter's saying it, but I think God, the Holy Spirit, saying it through him. Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. I love the expression. It's simple, three little words. I love you. Did you know people hear that so infrequently? You would think that everybody would hear that all the time. You would think that husbands would say that to their wives. Honey, I love you. I'm not even going to ask you, man, when's the last time you said that to your wife? I hope it wasn't too long ago. I love you. But I want you to notice, again, simple things in this verse. casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You're in this verse. Aren't you glad that in the Bible, this is not just generic. It is doctrine, but it's not just teaching that's out there. It's so simple and it's so real. You and I are in this verse. Amen. Casting all your care upon him. Everything seems today that we do is impersonal. You get a number. I mean, do you just get tired of numbers? I mean, now you go to one website to do something and they'll have to send you a text with a number to prove who you are to follow on up with that business you're doing. And everything you seem to do, you're a number. The day of bigness, the day of the ATM. Did you know that a great number of our missionaries today, we don't send them a check. They get their money. They're notified how much money was put into their bank account. They go down to the ATM, get their money. But to do that, you have to have a PIN number and password and whatever. Social Security. How many of you understand that word? How many of you, no, don't. I was going to say, how many of you own it? Don't raise your hand. Social Security number. Insurance policies. Banks. Do you ever get frustrated going to a bank? Now, this is back a few years ago, but when I was here and I was pastoring, and maybe I was already back with BIMI, but I was still living here. And the little bank Lanham got bought out by a bigger bank. And I went in there one day, and I was wanting to get a little money out of my account. And the lady said, you'll have to put your debit card in there and put in your... I said, ma'am, I have banked in here for years. And all the people here, the officers know me. I'm the pastor. I must have been. I'm a pastor of Grace Baptist Church. We have several accounts here. Well, yeah, but you got to put. Well, okay, I'm just going to be honest. I was a little irritated. And I don't usually, you all who know me know, I don't usually get that way. And they knew that I was irritated. I wasn't shouting or anything, but I just was expressing. I'm a local person. I banked here for years. You all know me. I don't have to put my debit card. I don't even know my PIN number. I don't use that crazy thing. So I left, and I hadn't got home when the vice president of the bank called me. Because I get tired of passwords and PINs and impersonal and product codes and scanners and computers and chat rooms. And I teach. I love to teach. I love to be around young people, but I live in a different world. I don't want to blog with anybody. I don't want to use Facebook. I don't know what they even call these things. There's something in me. Okay, I can do it. I know how to do it. There's something in me that just says, I don't want to do that. People say, do you tweet? Do you do it? No. I don't intend to. I'm sorry. It's just I'm being honest. I see in all this the foreshadows of what Pastor preached about this morning in Antichrist coming, when everybody's going to have a number. In California, you know, in California, I won't say any more about that much. But you go to Walmart, which is only 2 miles where we lived in California, and you go on to buy a bar of Irish Spring soap. It's behind the glass. You've got to have the clerk come and open it up to give you a bar of soap, and they put it in a glass container that's sealed, and you have to. They won't even let you take it. They take it to the. I mean, that's crazy. Can I just remind you that that's not the way God looks at you? It's not the way that God looks at me. We are not some impersonal thing. God still knows who we are. He knows every detail about us. We are an individual to him. He is no cosmic computer. Amen. Computers, I use it. I live on one. Artificial intelligence, it is that. It's artificial. All of our students, they use Canvas. How many of your college students, you ever use Canvas? Canvas and Blackboard, those are the two big college things across America. And those things, when students take an exam or a test on Canvas, I still have to go back and grade it because that crazy computer doesn't have any common sense. They write the right two words, but they're in a reverse order, and it doesn't know that. I still got to go back and grade it. Look, Jesus knows your name. Aren't you glad for that? John chapter 10. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows, by the way, he knows whether we're real or not. We just want to get over the pretense of who we think we are and our own importance. God, you are in this verse. Jesus, if you study his life and go through the Gospels, you've been getting great preaching on that. He's always interested in the individual. Now, he loves his church, but the church is made up of saved, baptized, sold-out individuals. And he's walking down the street, and Zacchaeus, a little short man, went up the tree, and Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I know who you are. I know everything about you. I know where you got your money. I know what you ought to do with it." And he did. He gave a lot of it back. Woman walked up behind him. He was on his way to the home of a ruler who had a daughter ill, and they were going there. And don't you know that ruler was impatient to get there and see his daughter heal? But there was a woman kind of came up quietly behind, and she just said, if I can just touch his garment. And she did. And Jesus was just as concerned about that woman. We don't even know her name. The little children. Don't you love the stories, Matthew chapter 19 and other passages, where Jesus was concerned about every little child and he let the children. Don't forbid not the children to come to me. Jesus is concerned about every individual, even the demon possessed. In Matthew chapter 17, we have that. Here's my point of this. God has time for you. So these confusing times when we don't know what's going to happen next. Dr. Snyder and I, this last week, we've been praying so hard. We moved the dates of our Canada school. That's painful. Do you know when you change a date for anything major, that affects somebody can't even do that. So now we're going to have an extra week of Canada school in December because of people. And now we have Camp Beamy. Some of you may have been there. It's one of the greatest things in the world. And we're going to have that. It's supposed to be in about 3 weeks or so. But in our county, in Hamilton County, you can go. Anything retail's fully open. Restaurants are fully open. The swimming pools are open, but you can't have a camp. So at this point, we don't know. We may have to put it off. I'm just saying, in all of these crazy times, God has time for you. Amen. Number two, not only are you in this verse, but every care that you have is in this verse. So casting all your care. Do you have any care? Anxiety. The state of being pulled apart. I shouldn't tell on him, but our office manager, he's a good friend, Jim Butler. We have about 25, 30 staff over in our offices, and some of them, a lot of them, they're older and they're not in good physical shape, and not a lot of people come necessarily visiting to our place, but Jim Butler is our office manager. He is paranoid that somebody's going to come in there and have the virus. Well, that might happen. But, folk, we cannot sit around and let the cares of this world tear us apart. It says this, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Little problems, big problems. Cares about your family. You have anybody right now, it's just a burden, maybe a family member, a good friend. This last week, well, we've had in the last few months, we've had some of our greatest friends in the world go to heaven. Dr. Ray Thompson died Christmas night. Dr. John Halsey, a few hours later the next morning. Dan Garlick, I don't know if you ever, Dan Garlick, his father started La Espada. It's the Spanish Sword of the Lord. Evangelist, God used him for so many ways. In Central America, Mexico, he went to heaven just a few days ago. We have a young missionary wife, 51 years old, four daughters, in their early 20s and maybe later teens. And they've been down in Brazil. She grew up, not Brazil, Peru. She's the daughter of Tom and Carolyn Pace. They've been in Peru for over 50 years. She was born there, grew up there, married Rick Anderson. Their kids grew up in Peru. And Kathy, they called us this last week and said, Kathy, the doctors tell her she might have 6 months at the best to live with cancer. Well, we have some big cares, don't we? Some of you, I don't know what yours is. Some of you, I might. But I know this, there's not a person here that's not concerned about your family and your children and your wife and your finances. I mean, you're going through some interesting time. Finances, your future, your job, security, your debts. This week, I just have to be very vague about this, but in the last day or two, my heart's been so heavy. I had an email. We had a big meeting on Friday morning, came out of there, had an email from a mutual friend, and it was a press conference in Santa Cruz, California, from a sheriff announcing that they had just arrested four young men for kidnapping, robbery, and murder. Two of those young boys are missionary. They used to be behind my missionary kids. Grew up on a mission field. Your thought is, how could this be possible? Well, those are cares. The health of other people. Some of you right now, you have loved ones in nursing homes and care facilities, and you can't even go see them. I mean, that's a burden. The health of others, depression. I had my physical a week and a half ago, Friday week, and the doctor said, for an honorary old guy, as old as I am, I'm in good shape. He didn't say that. But I am honorary and old and in good shape, I guess. But when I went in there, they came in. Does this ever happen to you? They came in bringing me these two sheets I had to fill out about depression. I said, you're giving those to the wrong person. And they know me, and I didn't have to fill it out. But there are a lot of people out. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people out there today that are depressed. One of Dr. Snyder's, he has two boys. One of them's a policeman in Richmond, Virginia. He said there are more domestic violence calls right now than you can imagine. We were quarantined in California for a month, but I was recording class sessions on video and entering exams into Canvas and worked all day long, and the time passed. Can you imagine some people having to live in the same house with each other for one day? It would be war, goodbyes, church situation. He can't say this, but did you know the pastor worries about you all? Not just does he worry about, are you going to be in church? He's concerned about you. When you have a burden, he has a burden. Someone asked Benita years ago, for those of you who don't know, that's our middle daughter. Natural curly red hair she got from me. Anyway, someone asked Benita, what's the thing you remember about growing up in a pastor's home? She said the phone going off at 2 in the morning and the light coming on in mom and dad's room. And a few minutes later, you hear the car crank up and I was off to the hospital or off to somebody. I'm just saying, folks, this is simple. I know it is. God's concerned about you, but he's concerned about every care that you have, big or little. Now, let me give you my third point. Casting all your care upon him. Jesus is in this verse. No one, we sing the song, but it's so true, no one understands like Jesus. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Oh, yes, he cares. I just told you about that story with these missionaries, these boys, they're not little boys. Yeah, they are, too, to me. They're 20 and 22 years old. My heart has been so heavy and pain for that family. I don't know. What do you say to a mom and dad. I don't probably have anything. All I could say was, hey, I love you and I'm praying for you. But I'm so glad Jesus cares for them. He wants to take all of your cares. We're pretty independent folk. Linda and I grew up on the farm not far from here. We worked hard. And that was good for us, by the way. It didn't hurt us a bit. We grew up on the farm and having to make our own way just a little bit. But we farmers and we folk, we work and we think we got it down. We can do it. We can handle it. We don't need any help. It's a silly story, and I know it's been told over and over, over again. It's probably really trite, but you've heard the story about the farmer going down the road with his wagon and the guy standing on the side of the road with a bag of 100-pound bag of potatoes on his back, and the farmer stops and says, hey, get up, and I'll take you to town. And the guy climbs up on the wagon, and he still keeps the bag of potatoes on his back. Now, that's silly, I know, but that's exactly what we tend to do. Lord, I'm so glad you saved my soul. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. But hey, look, now this thing right here, you can't do this. I got to take care of this. Do you wonder if he cares? If you ever wonder, does he care? You have to go back to the Gospels and read the story of the cross. Because the one who cared enough to save us will care for all of our worries and all of our needs. Jesus is in this verse. Now, three simple things I've said. Let me give you some simple thoughts in conclusion from what I have gleaned from this verse and others like it. Here's what I found. The Lord gives us the courage to face our cares honestly and not to run away. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's have courage to face our cares, especially we men. You don't need to raise your hand because I know the answer. How many of us men, we're not going to show anybody our weakness? I don't want my wife to know that I'm worried about this. I don't want my church to know that I'm sweating because of this situation. I don't, you know, we want to take hold of the thing and just take care of it ourselves. And the truth is, we can't always do that. And God gives us the courage to face these needs, these cares honestly, and not to run away with them. Number two, he gives us wisdom to understand the situation. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I honestly can't figure out. I have no idea how this whole thing's going to turn out. Does anybody know? Please don't tell me. None of us have any idea how this whole situation is going to turn out right now with our country. I mean, we are going into some territory. Things have changed. We stayed last night. First time we've done it in a long, long time, months. We stayed in a hotel last night because the price has gone down. You can afford to go now. But they don't, well, maybe they did tell you online, but they don't even give you breakfast. You can't even get a cup of coffee without calling one of the workers out because two people can't press the top of that coffee. You know, seriously, America, somebody got to figure out a way to pour coffee where everybody didn't have to touch the pot or the... You can't get a cup of coffee because somebody else might have touched the top of it. And so you don't have breakfast. You know what? They have a sack breakfast for everybody. And you go get that sack. I did, got one. This one, it had a bottle of water and a little tiny granola bar. And a banana that is green, it'll be 3 weeks before that. So it's obvious those hotels haven't figured out yet how this whole thing's going to work out. And we don't know what's going to happen. that today in California, over 1,500 churches decided they were going to have church today. Amen. And they had it. Yeah. We don't know exactly, but God says, hey, we don't know. Ask him. Hey. Ask him for wisdom. Number three, I'm almost finished. He gives us the strength to do what we must do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, don't you love it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can't figure it out. We don't know everything's going to happen tomorrow or next week or this year. But God does give us the strength to get through it. And number four, he gives us faith to trust him to do the rest. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I'm concerned about our missionaries. Hey, look, Lynn and I, we love missionaries. We were there many years ourselves. Now we get to go out all over the world and just hang out with them. I preach for them. We love on them. We go out and visit their people with them. We go soaking with them. We love them. And right now, we know there's sometimes it's just hard to trust. But you cannot improve on doing that. Rest is one of my favorite words in all the Bible. I think that's what faith really is. Rest with God. I don't worry one moment about my eternal destiny. I rest in the complete work of Christ Jesus, my Savior, on the cross of Calvary. I know he did it all. He paid the price. When I put my faith in him, he saved my soul. I do not worry about it. It never crosses my mind that I could go to hell. I can't. Not because I'm good. He's good. And he did it. He paid the debt. Boy, if we could ever get to that place in our Christian life where we could just say, Lord, I cannot figure this thing out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know this. I trust you for every detail of my life. I trust you for these new little grandbabies being born into this wicked world in America. I trust you, Lord, for health and strength. And when you get our age, that is for Linda and I, when you get our age, you don't know what's going to come next year. But I tell you this, we're trusting in the Lord because we have found him faithful. Time and time again. Why, if we found him faithful back there, why wouldn't we think he could be faithful in the future?